Let's Go Visiting. We're so glad you joined us today, and I know you'll want to stay tuned as Barbara Egan, your hostess, will be talking to someone you'd like to know. Before these few moments are over, her friend will be your friend, too.
You know, I really look forward to these times, and I know you do, too. And I'll tell you, it is an honor today to bring to you Dr. John Whitcomb. Dr. Whitcomb has been with us on various occasions, but it's been a few years now, and I'm just thrilled to be able to bring Dr. Whitcomb to you. Thank you so much, Dr. Whitcomb, for being with us.
It's certainly a privilege, Barbara, and we trust that the Lord will bless our time together.
And Dr. Whitcomb, I'd like to ask you if you'd just give us a brief synopsis of your life, maybe if you were brought up in a Christian home when you came to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe what your schooling has been, and then I'd like you, if you would, please name some of the books you've written or have helped co-author.
It was not my privilege to be raised in a Christian home. I was an only child in a military home. So was my dad, for that matter. But it was in 1943 at Princeton University in New Jersey where, by God's mercy and grace, I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was an evolutionist studying courses on evolutionism, among other courses. And after 7 months of being urgently invited to come to a little Bible class on the campus there in the student center, that one night in my dorm room there at Pine Hall, I finally saw in the New Testament that Christ is truly the Lord and my Savior.
Having new church leaders today, I think, is quite a situation at hand. And I'd like to ask if you would talk to us a little bit on training new leaders for God's churches.
That, to me, is one of the desperate needs of our day. Biblically trained, God-honoring, Christ-centered pastors and teachers in this country and around the whole world. Those were the final words, as a matter of fact, that the Lord Jesus left with his church when he departed to be in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. And he said that we're to not only make disciples of all nations, but we're to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he has commanded us. And I almost call that the first word of the Great Commission. And the last word was given by Paul, who had the mind of Christ, the apostle to the Gentiles, in the last letter he ever wrote, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And then this statement has really gripped my conscience in recent years. "Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." People like to think of treasures, don't they? Of gold and silver and stocks and bonds and property. There's no treasure compared to the treasure of the precious, infallible, inerrant, written revelation of God, the Bible, which he's entrusted to his people, not only to mastermind and to obey and to exemplify, but also to entrust to the next spiritual generation, so that our children, our disciples, can likewise know the Lord in all the beauty and marvel and intricacies of his revelation in the Bible. And my special focus since I came to know Christ as an evolutionist has been how the world began, how God created this planet and the other planets and our moon and the other moons and our star and the other stars. And Genesis is God's infallible revelation on how it happened, how he created this universe in six literal 24-hour days, and then tragically had to curse it because of man's willful rebellion, and then the great flood in the days of Noah that totally transformed the earth. And it was back in 1963 that I had the privilege of co-authoring a 500-page volume with Henry Morris, a leading hydraulic engineer, entitled The Genesis Flood. And sequels to that book, such as The World That Perished. And these books are in different languages, and God has used them to help scientifically minded people, and the rest of us too, to realize you don't have to compromise the Bible to be truly scientific in your understanding of God's world and His ways. And so a whole creation movement has spread all over the English-speaking world and other countries too in recent generations, especially in recent decades, that are making known again the fact that God meant what He said when He told us how He created the world and living things in such a way that they could reproduce after their kind, and why evolutionism is not only a distortion and a denial of the biblical revelation on creation, but also is a distortion of true science, because no one has ever seen anything evolving to higher and higher levels of complexity. And evolutionism is a contradiction to everything we know in science, the genetic code in living things, the fossil record under our feet, the second law of thermodynamics, which is, of course, a deterioration, not an improvement, in complexity in the whole universe. So these things have fascinated me for many years now, and we have a book called The Early Earth, too, An Introduction to Biblical Creationism. And we have a number of videotapes now and audio cassette albums and other books and charts that we trust will be of great interest and help to your people, your listeners, as they might write in and say, how can we learn more for our children and for ourselves about this great God who designed and created the whole universe through His mind, will, and word?
Dr. Whitcomb, I heard it said that the reason the sun and the moon and the stars were created on day four and not at the time when God made light was because there were so many that worshipped the sun. Do you go along with that?
Yes, I totally agree. When God wrote Genesis through the pen of Moses, the first people who ever read that chapter or heard it read to them were the Israelites, fresh out of 400 years in Egypt, where they had been permeated and poisoned with sun worship idolatry. And God makes it so clear in Genesis 1 that the sun, S-U-N, had nothing whatever to do with the creation of the universe or of the world. In fact, the earth was created 3 days before the sun and went through three night-day cycles on the basis of a temporary light He created on the first day, which was a localized astronomic created light, three cycles, night, day, night, day, night, day, before the sun was created to replace that temporary light. God's way of saying to Israel and to us that the sun is not ultimate, eternal, divine, essential, or to be worshipped. Only God is to be worshipped. The sun is important, vital to us today, only because God so constituted it halfway through creation week. So you see, the Bible begins the way it ends, doesn't it? It ends with no more need of sun or moon. Only Christ will provide for His people forever the illumination they need. And so the world began with only God, and He spoke. The earth began, then the temporary light, and only later the sun, moon, and stars. That order is of tremendous significance in terms of who God is, and we must not try to twist the text of Genesis to accommodate it, you see, to modern cosmogonical theories of evolutionism.
Well, Dr. Lincoln, we started out saying about training new leaders for God's church. What suggestions do you have for fellows and girls that are listening in and these married couples, and he's thinking that maybe God's calling him to go into the pastorate, or maybe he's already had some Bible school training and is thinking about going to a mission field? What advice would you give for the proper training?
Just like it was, Barbara, in the early church, there were no graduate schools, which theoretically are fine, but you start at home with an open Bible before the Lord, and you search the Scriptures daily. We now have helps for Christians in their homes, homeschooling, as it were, in the Bible, and local churches to train their people like they did at the beginning of church history, so that we have videotaped courses now, audio taped courses, syllabi printed out, guidelines for pastors to help young people right in their own homes and churches to master God's revelation. And believe it or not, it can be done with patience and prayer. And that, I think, has to be the best way. Nothing can be a substitute for what happens at home and in the local church in the plan and purpose of God according to New Testament guidelines. Anyone who cares for a listing of our materials can just write to Whitcomb Ministries, P.O. Box 277, Winona Lake, Indiana, 46590.
Dr. Wickham, I think you must have many favorite verses of Scripture, but I was wondering if maybe you could pick out one of them.
One of my all-time favorites, of course, as a professor of the Bible for many years, is this one. The things, Paul wrote to Timothy, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's what I call the chain reaction that is God's dynamic for not only winning people to the Lord all over the world, but equipping them and training them that they can teach others until Jesus comes.
Friends, Dr. John Wickham, author, conference speaker, and educator, has been with us.
And we have listings of our Institute, our Christian Workman Institute courses and video, and also our books, charts, and materials, and Norma's book for children, Those Mysterious Dinosaurs.
It's been a great privilege to have Dr. John Whitcomb on today's Let's Go Visiting broadcast. He's author or co-author of many books that you may have seen already, The Genesis Flood, The World That Perished, The Early Earth, other books, many, many audio cassettes, videotapes, charts, and other things that would be very helpful in your Christian school classrooms, your science classes, or your homeschool. If you'd like more information, you can either write to Whitcomb Ministries, P.O. Box 277, Winona Lake, Indiana, 46590, or you can contact Barbara and she'll be happy to send you a copy of the brochure and further information that you can be in direct contact. Call Barb at 1-877-ACTS-412 or 1-877-228-7412. Thank you so much for listening to Let's Go Visiting today, and we hope you'll be in touch. It's always such a great pleasure to hear from you and to be encouraged by you. Did you meet a new friend today? Join us next week as Barbara will have another interesting guest. Barbara would love to hear from you with your letter of encouragement to this faith ministry. Because of your generosity, we stay on this station. If the Lord lays on your heart to share financially with Let's Go Visiting, your contributions go totally to program production. No portion goes to Barbara or to the staff, and your gifts are tax deductible. You can write to Barbara at Let's Go Visiting, Post Office Box 751, Haddonfield, New Jersey, 08033. If this broadcast is a blessing to you, please be a blessing to us. That address again is Post Office Box 751, Haddonfield, New Jersey, 08033.
See you next week. Bye.